Welcome to SB Nation Radio here on 106.7 The Fan with Mike Prada. I'm Scott Jackson. Mike, of course, from Bullets Forever and SB Nation DC editor. And you can hear me with Brian Mitchell Saturdays here on 106.7 The Fan and wherever else they'll give me the time of day. Well, Mike, let's start with what I know a lot of people are excited about.
The lockout?
Oh, yes. No. The reshaping of the Redskins this week with some releases, a big signing. And, of course, still a lot of decisions ahead as we get closer towards the draft. But, you know, goodbye to Clinton Portis. Goodbye to Derek Dockery. You know, Andre Carter among the headliners there. None of which were shocking, perhaps. But I guess for Portis, it's one of those ones where you have to kind of take a breath and look back on his career here with the Skins.
Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit more about Portis in our next segment when Jack Anderson of SB Nation DC, Skins Talk, wrote a very good article about his legacy in DC. Actually wrote it before he got released.
Yeah.
But he wrote a very good article. We're going to talk a little bit more about Portis. The one thing you did not mention, which they did just before the original projected lockout date, is they made a signing. They made a pretty big signing. They signed O.J. Otagwe from the St. Louis Rams, free safety, gave him a 5-year, $26 million contract, a guy who very clearly they were interested in. He has some history with Jim Haslett. He came in for a workout. He said how much he loved the organization on Twitter. Now they always say that, but
sure,
you know, obviously, but there, this was a predictable yet, you know, surprising that it happened so quickly when it did. You know, an interesting signing. I think it's just, again, the sign that Mike Shanahan, he's finally getting the kind of team he wants. Otagwe is a turnover kind of guy, and they're getting rid of a couple guys who fit the previous regime, but not Mike Shanahan's regime.
No, I like the signing as well of Otagwe, and you know, it doesn't seem like they broke the bank for him compared to what he was looking for. I guess he was looking for about 7. They went towards 5. And look, here's the thing, and every time the Redskins sign a free agent, they go through this. People go, oh, great, we got somebody else's trash or somebody else's former star. They don't have enough draft picks just to say we're just selling out for the draft. And nobody does that anyway, by the way. Yes, you have to have a really good draft. You got to have, you know, you got to hit with some numbers. You got to hit with your high picks. But there's no other way to do it without going into the free agent market as well. It's just don't overspend. Don't sign the guy the first minute he walks in the door, which they didn't do, by the way. This guy went out and, you know, toured the NFL, and he came back here. So I'm okay with it. And, yeah, we have to see if it works in the field. But they needed to put somebody next to Leron Landry that would complement his skills. And this guy, from what he's done in the past, appears to do that.
Yeah, Kareem Moore was the guy they tried to plug in next to Landry this year. Ooh. It really didn't work out.
No.
Now, part of it might have been injury. He hurt his knee early at the end of training camp. He was having a great training camp, getting a lot of buzz. And then he hurt his knee. And I think he might have come back too soon. But you're right. The bottom line is they need a guy like Otagwe. And the only issue, the only thing I'm a little concerned about is that I think a lot, if you talk to a lot of Rams fans, yes, it's a big loss. He was like the quote-unquote heart and soul of that team. But I think a lot of them would also admit that his skills have fallen off a little bit since he had such a great year in 2007. You know, he had 8 interceptions. He had 66 tackles. And then I think the last few years he's fallen off a little bit. And he is 30, you know, so I can understand. This isn't like an Archuleta situation, of course.
No, they didn't fit the system, yeah.
And they spent too much money. But I don't know if they're going to get – if they're hoping for the 2007 O.J. Otagwe, I'm not sure that the Redskins are going to get that. They might not. They might get someone who's not quite that good.
Yeah, well, no, I don't think they should expect to get that either. I think that was a career year, and that happens for guys. You got to look, they would just like some consistency at that position. As you know, Landry was the guy making all the plays this year before he got injured. Can the guy tackle? I mean, first and foremost, can he actually tackle somebody in the open field? That's a huge problem for this team. That was a problem for Kareem Moore. It was a problem for Dowdy when he was in there as well. It was a problem for no matter who they plugged in there, it seemed like. I'm just happy somebody comes in knowing the system. We don't have to start with this whole, you know, getting to know the defense process. That's a part of it I like about Otagwe. And again, they didn't appear to overspend for him, which has been the biggest problem in the past for them getting free agents here, is just overspending for him. They didn't get Sean Rogers, and a lot of people were kind of questioning whether or not he was good, even though it was a need position. You know, he signed elsewhere. And I think that that's not such a bad thing either. I think this administration has shown, and granted, it's a short period of time, that they're not going to be Vinny Serrato and Dan Snyder. They're not going to go out and just grab names just for the sake of grabbing names. There's guys that they're looking at, including Andre Davis as well from the Texans, that fit you know, what they want to do. Whether you think Andre Davis can play or not as a big player, it doesn't matter. He played in Little Shanahan's offense, and at least they're looking at guys that, you know,
Little
fit the
Shanahan
system. Well, it's easier to do.
I like the Little Shanahan because it's pretty accurate. But, yeah, no, you're right. This they wanted him last year, I think, and yeah. They chose not to sign him because St. Louis gave him a bigger contract, like a re-signing. And sure. Then they released him 1 year later and got him for a slight discount.
Right,
so
there
you
go.
That's clever. It's clever. Now, it is one more additional year, and he is 30 next year. Sure. He'll be 30 next year. So I think the drop-off in money is probably about appropriate for the fact that it's an additional year in his career. So, but, it is a good signing. You know, they still have a lot of holes to fill. I think it was good that they seemed to have passed on Sean Rogers. And I think it's good, you know, they have to get guys like this, and it seems like it's a pretty reasonable contract.
All right, we're here on SB Nation Radio. Scott Jackson, Mike Prada here with you on 106.7 The Fan. You can follow us on Twitter at SB Nation Radio, and hit us up on Facebook. Like us on our Facebook page as well. Now, the other thing, of course, is the release of kind of the veterans. We'll get into with Jack Anderson here in a little bit, but the combine. You know, the combine mm-hmm. wraps up this week. A lot of buzz about the quarterbacks, of course, Blaine Gabbert, Cam Newton get a lot of attention. Newton decides to work out, hurts himself perhaps, depending on whose draft board you're on. Gabbert doesn't do that, but helps himself by not doing that. It's funny just kind of reading the stuff on on the blogs and certainly on the people on Twitter that are Skins fans, you know, kind of just hand-wringing over the idea of this franchise taking a quarterback, whether it was with the 10th pick or the second round or at some point in this draft. And a lot of people saying they got too many other needs, can't do it. But I'll say to you, Mike, who's going to play quarterback if you don't do it? Because here's what you have. You've got, you know, John Beck, who's 29, by the way. He'll be, 30, I think, by the time the season starts. You got McNabb, who we all know is not going to be here. And Grossman's actually a free agent, and you probably could get him back for less money than you would elsewhere. But at some point, don't you have to identify and grab a quarterback and start that that future process now of building up a franchise quarterback?
You probably do. I sympathize with those who say maybe not in the first round.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that.
There were a number of prospects that did pretty well out in Indianapolis this week, quarterback prospects that are not sure. Cam Newton or Blaine Gabbert.
That's right.
Christian Ponder did very well from Florida State. Ryan McElroy had the highest Wunderlich test, I believe. And I mean,
although some people doubt that that's possible, but that it could be out this quickly, but who knows? But yeah, everybody knew he's a super smart guy, to quote right. a former coach here.
Yeah, I mean, so there are guys they can get. And I think, you know, the Redskins fans who say, you know what, we don't need a quarterback, we have many other needs. To a certain extent, I think they're living in the past. They're living in the old, well, we can roll out Mark Rippon or Doug Williams
There's
and still win.
There's no guy in the injured reserve, yeah.
You know, and I don't think that that's how you can do it in today's NFL. Now, the flip side is that you could say that because it's easier to complete a forward pass than ever, there's a higher pool of adequate quarterbacks, and you can get away with, you know, sub-adequate, you know, guy. But I would argue the opposite in that, you know, if you don't have a sub-adequate guy, which right now they don't, they just don't, that's going to be a problem, you know, going forward. They need some young quarterback in this draft, whether it comes at number 10, whether it comes in the second round, whether it comes really late in the draft. They definitely should draft somebody.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. The Redskins sit on kind of an interesting number at 10. I saw this thing this week. ESPN Insider did it. Casey Joyner, about quarterbacks. He broke them down from basically the 1 to 10 range, the number of picks versus the 11 on off, the rest of the draft, from 11 on up. For quarterbacks drafted between 1970 and 2006, and did all these different factors, you know, as to contribution, success, and how you would measure that, whatever. But I think the interesting thing is to look at Pro Bowl selections, which we can all measure, playoff bursts, and Super Bowl wins. But 1 through 10, there were 51 quarterbacks. Okay, 28 of them went on to be All Pro selections. 100 Pro Bowl bursts, 16 Super Bowl wins. 11 on up. Okay, there were 30 picks. Okay. And playoff bursts, 53, all-pro selections, 14, and Super Bowl wins, 2. So this was 11 on up. Now, this is the first round, obviously not the entire draft, because people say, wait a minute, Tom Brady.
Yeah, that's
Super
what
Bowls.
I was going to say. Tom Brady himself is the one.
Yeah, I'm just talking first round alone. So the number 10, of course, is where the Redskins sit, is kind of a magical number. Now, certainly you could argue Elway, you know, Aikman, Noah Peyton Manning has added some to this too, have bumped up those numbers with their first round success rates at that 11 on, you know, below the that 10 mark. You know, Philip Rivers, has been to Pro Bowls, and Matt Ryan as well, and so you would expect eventually to Super Bowls. But it is interesting because there's so many guys that could be in that top 10 part of the draft for the Redskins that but then made then there's guys that you'd say, you know what, I would be okay with them if they were in the latter part of the first round, or if, you know, if they were able to trade back, or if they took them in the second or third round. Yet there is something to be said for if you have one of those guys that separate themselves, they appear to have a better success rate.
Now, it's worth noting that does not include Jamarcus Russell, that sample. He was 2007.
Yeah,
which,
exactly.
It's interesting because, like, you know, the stereotype is, well, you can't get a quarterback that high. He could bust. Yeah. And there's Tim Couch. And
yes.
There's all these guys that busted at the top of the draft, you know.
True.
But it is interesting, you know. It's funny that you mentioned only the first round. It's almost as if the number 10 pick is the threshold for getting a top quality quarterback, and if you don't get it, you're better off waiting till later in the draft.
Because, which could be the case of the Redskins.
Right. And yeah, like you said, though, this doesn't include later rounds. I mean, there are plenty of late round quarterbacks that,
sure,
have been very good players. Tom Brady, Kyle Orton. I mean, that's, yeah, just, I'm just talking off the top of my head now.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, they've been successful. And here's the other thing, too. I mean, with the Redskins may or may not be able to do, I mean, if they can, again, move down and get those extra picks, that's invaluable anyway because of the fact that they need so many other positions. They can add, you know, numbers to it. And a lot of this, of course, hangs on the fact that whether or not we have a CBA done that will have a rookie cap in effect immediately. And if we do, then maybe, quote-unquote, reaching for a quarterback that early won't be as bad financially as it has been in years past either.
It's true, although you could say that about any position. Although, like you said, quarterbacks are,
quarterback
money
is
crazy.
Yeah,
so
it's nuts because Tom Condon gets it, and, you know, he's actually making more money than the league is at this point, I think, with all the quarterbacks he's had recently.
Oh, well, that's
top
true.
Picks.
So there you
go. I just thought it was, of all numbers to be at where there is a drop-off or a change, 10. And, of course, that's exactly where the Redskins sit.
It seems like a lame duck pick in general. It's like,
yeah,
10, it's like you're close enough to the top of the draft.
Yeah. Seems like a pick the Wizards would get.
Right, exactly.
Like they used to get five, like the Wizards, yeah, to get five all those years, but there was only three to four prospects.
Right, or yeah,
or seven.
Yeah, it's like oh, 10, like, oh, so it's like we have to use this pick, but
right,
we don't,
right,
really want to. Yeah,
right,
I know,
right,
exactly what you mean. And they're in a rough spot this year because of all their needs. I mean, that's,
yeah,
certainly true.
No doubt about it. All right, coming up, Jack Anderson's going to join us, SB Nation DC. He, of course, takes care of business with the Redskins. We'll talk about the guys who were saying goodbye, and were their careers, well, were they memorable? Were they worth it in the end, especially Clinton Portis and some of the others? We'll get to that and what is next for the Skins. Coming up here, SB Nation Radio, Scott Jackson along with Mike Prater here on 106.7 The Fan.